Sometimes I feel like throw my hands up in the air. I know I can count on you. Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I just don't care. But you've got the love I need to see me through. Sometimes it seems the God is just too old. Anything go wrong, no matter what I do. Now and then it seems like life is just too much. But you've got the love I need to see me through. When food is gone, you are my daily need. Oh. When friends are gone, I know my Savior's love you.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Loved with Kim Sage on KX at One Laguna in beautiful Laguna Beach. I'm your host, Kim Sage, and I'm a therapist in Newport Beach and currently completing my doctorate in clinical psychology. So today on my first show, No Nerves Here, we are going to be talking about love and relationships, and we're going to explore the film Wild, starring Reese Witherspoon. The film is currently in theaters, and Reese was just nominated for a Golden Globe, but did not win. I have always loved films, and I'm actually using them in my dissertation to explore the sort of psychological content films bring into our lives, and so I thought this would be a great place to start. So the idea is that films are our culture's contemporary mode of storytelling, where the characters and their experiences often function as sort of metaphorical bridges which cross into our unconscious minds. Remember that a metaphor is a word or a phrase that is used to make a comparison between two people, things, animals, or places. So these metaphorical bridges are the reason you can find yourself watching a film and trying to hold back your tears or feeling them roll down your cheeks. You can become angry or even inspired to change your life through watching a film. Whether it's a romantic comedy that creates passion in you and inspires you to go out and find new love, or a documentary or a real life story that inspires you to become a warrior or an advocate, or even a drama that leaves you feeling sort of the weight of the world in your life. The idea is that films possess just a great potential power that can ignite a spark within you to help you see things that you didn't previously see, feel things maybe you've been avoiding, or just not able to experience, or even just embracing the truth and beauty and humanity in a situation or emotion present in your life. So in the film Wild, which is based upon Cheryl Strayed's real-life 1,100-mile trek across the Pacific Crest Trail, which is often called the PCT, Reese plays Cheryl, a young woman in search of herself, really. The Pacific Crest Trail is a trail that spans 2,650 miles from Mexico to Canada, through California, Oregon, and Washington. So after losing her mother, Bobby, which is played by the amazing Laura Dern, to cancer, which basically what happens is Laura Dern, Bobby, gets the diagnosis and is supposed to have a year to live. She's only 45 years old. And within 7 weeks, she's gone. And Reese's character, Cheryl, just finds herself grief-stricken and really starts sabotaging her life through heroin use and just a ton of affairs and promiscuity, which eventually destroys her marriage. So the trail functions as a literal and metaphorical attempt for Cheryl to walk herself back to herself, or as she says in the film, to the girl my mother raised me to be. Now, as I sat in the theater, I had to hold back my own tears in more than one scene in the movie. Not because I'm a heroin addict or have been one, or because I've lost my mother to cancer. She's actually alive and kicking. But because the concepts really transcend any need to have actually experienced what Cheryl Strayed experiences in the film. The idea is that the journey is universal for all of us. Questions like, how do we pick up the pieces of our lives after loss? How do we avoid or numb our pain? When and how do we walk ourselves back to ourselves when we wake up one day and we just don't know who we are anymore? And what do we do when everything we loved is gone? So these are the questions we're going to explore in this next few minutes. But before I do that, I'd like to remind our audience that you're listening to Loved with Kim Sage on KX at One Laguna. Loved is a live weekly talk show about love, relationships, and sometimes about movies. So today we're going to break down the film and sort of psychologically analyze Wild, starring Reese Witherspoon. As I went through a lot of interviews and fan pages about this film and about the book, which sort of has a life of its own, I read a lot of responses from people who describe their own wild lives and what ignited their journeys on their own trails. Over and over again, I read about divorces and death, job or career losses, things like drug abuse and sexual abuse. But the biggest loss of all for people really seemed to be the loss of love and the loss of themselves. That seemed to create the greatest wounds for people. So given the sort of universality of the human condition, I really believe that stories like this reflect the pain in our lives that we all experience. Because, you know, honestly, if you live long enough, you are going to have your own wild moment, or two, or three, or four, depending on the paths you take. So that's why I thought Wild was just a great example of why I've chosen to research films and how they create or can create psychological shifts, healing, and inspiration in our lives, and oftentimes even within a therapeutic environment. The movie and the story sort of unfold much like our lives do, with one event setting us up for another event in our lives, almost like luring us onto our next path, calling us to face or deny our own selves at every turn. The film is layered with metaphor upon metaphor, and perhaps the most significant metaphor is the trail itself, which everyone talks about in the book and reviews and even the writers and stuff, that the idea is that she's walking back to find herself. And in addition to that, there are a lot of just incredible metaphors in the film and in the book. As Cheryl carries a 60-pound backpack, which I guess Reese actually had to carry in the film, she aptly names it the Monster. And so it's sort of this beast that she literally carries on her back. And it represents the weight of her life and the things she's desperately trying to carry the grief, if she intends to survive her life and the sort of perilous trail itself. And, you know, our weights can be really anything from grief to abuse to actual physical weight. They can include our own family dynamics, our divorces, our children or spouses, and often our own childhoods. And so how we learn to live with and carry the weight of our lives, I believe, can make the difference between life or death or even permanent disability. The relationship between Cheryl and her mother, Bobby, really beats as the heart of the film's exploration of self. I think their relationship is the real monster that Cheryl is trying to survive on her hike through the PCT. And the reality is that most people I've met struggle with issues tied to the role their parents played in their lives. These relationships with our parents are often intense and complicated and filled with conflicting emotions. And what I've found is that whether one or both of your parents were available, absent, or even abusive, it impacts your life and it combines with your genetics and your environment and how sort of we attach and experience the attachment to our parents plays out for certain when they're living and oftentimes long after they're gone, as it does in the film. I truly believe that most of us have to come to terms with the parent or parents we wished for but did not receive, the love or support we deserved but never experienced. And definitely all of these sort of factors are playing out for Cheryl in this love of this mother that she's lost so unexpectedly. I do also think that most people are lucky if they've even got one parent they deserve, let alone two. And whether we grieve for the fantasy of who we hope they were going to be or who we eventually lose, when we grow up, we often realize that our parents are or were just as beautifully complicated as we are. And for Bobby, Cheryl's mother in the film, that's really no exception. While her father may have been abusive and absent, and the film doesn't really talk about him, there's no doubt that it impacts Cheryl on some level. But what it really explores is her mother's luminosity, this sort of incandescent butterfly-like flickering in and out of memory Cheryl has of her mom as she walks the trail. And what's really incredible is that, you know, of course, characters are not, or people are complicated, but in the story, even in the midst of this woman's sort of poverty and abuse, they really don't have much. Her mom, Bobby, is able to find her voice as she sings and sort of dances through the kitchen. Her mother is really this light in a dark world, and she seems to have some kind of secret about the universe. In one scene, Cheryl's sort of talking about her mom on the trail with a woman she meets. And she says her mom used to always say this sort of quote to her, which used to drive her nuts. But she says that Bobby was known to say, "Every day there's a sunrise and a sunset, and you can choose to be there for it. You can put yourself in the way of beauty," which I just think is amazing. And then another scene I'm going to play for you is actually a scene from the film. It's a scene between Cheryl and Bobby, and we're able to really witness Cheryl's struggle to comprehend her mother's ability to continually seek what she calls her best self. And her sort of beautiful side of herself. So here you go. Here's a clip from the movie Wild, starring Reese Witherspoon.
Can you stop humming that song? What is wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? I'm happy. Happy people sing.
Why are you happy? We have nothing, Mom.
Nothing. No, we're rich in love.
Oh my God, please. Don't even start with that. We're both waitressing full time.
Oh, we're students.
And we're gonna have loans for the rest of our lives. This house is falling apart. You're all by yourself because you married some abusive, alcoholic asshole. And then I come home and you're singing? What part of it do you not get?
There's nothing I don't get, believe me. But then what? Cheryl, if there's one thing I could teach you,
It's how to find your best self. And when you do, how to hold on to it for dear life.
And this is your best self.
I'm trying. Do I regret marrying an abusive alcoholic asshole? No. Not for 1 second. Because I got you. And your brother. See how it works? It isn't easy.
So we're back. I just played a clip from the movie Wild, starring Reese Witherspoon, and we're talking about the film sort of psychologically. But before we head back into our sort of final segment, I want to remind you that you guys are listening to Loved with Kim Sage on KX at One Laguna. Love is a live weekly talk show about love, relationships, and sometimes movies. I work as a therapist in Newport Beach, and I'm finishing my doctorate in clinical psychology and actually doing my dissertation on using films and therapy, which are two of my passions. So anyway, back to the sort of rest of our analyzing of the film with Reese. So as the clip just showed, you know, the mother is really able to connect to her light in life, and losing her really is what begins to send Cheryl on a downward spiral of sex and drugs that eventually leads Cheryl to decide to take the trail. And really the most profound moment for me came in a scene between Bobby and Cheryl as they face the news of Bobby's cancer. On one level, it kind of feels like Bobby is accepting that her life is coming to an end. But on the other hand, you know, it's still so fresh and new. She's sort of struggling with making the connections. But she says to Cheryl, "I was never me," which to which Cheryl replies, "You know, what are you saying? Don't say that. You're not going to die," kind of a moment. And she says, "I've always been somebody's daughter or mother or wife. I never got to be in the driver's seat of my own life. I thought that time would come. I thought time was infinite." And as I sat there, I was like, wow, I wonder, you know, how many people are walking through life thinking to themselves, you know, someday I'll be happy. Someday I will pursue that dream that I used to have. Someday I will love the way I want to love, and someday I'm going to be loved the way I deserve. But then how many people find out the hard way that someday actually never comes? And it got me thinking, you know, what holds us back? What are we waiting for? There's never going to be a perfect time for anything, frankly. And I'd love to hear from our listeners about what would their someday that they made happen in their life, what that might look like. You can tweet me at ksagepsychology or visit me on my Facebook page, Loved with Kim Sage. That's K-I-M-S-A-G-E. So throughout the film, animals and nature really take on a life of their own. You can imagine on this wilderness trail, there's all kinds of creatures that come into Cheryl's life. There are several really metaphorical and monumental moments. One of them is a difficult to watch scene between Cheryl and her brother and Bobby's beloved horse, which apparently had been struggling and not been well and near the end of his life. And the scene really functions to transport us as an audience back to Bobby's love of life and her beauty and her darkness. And she even talks about the horse being instrumental in helping her survive and sort of get out of her abusive marriage. But for me, the most sort of metaphorically, and it's an obvious metaphor in the film, but it's just sort of profound, is this incandescent lingering fox that seems to appear in many scenes. And whenever you see the fox, it's always just Cheryl and the fox. And the animal appears to sort of stalk her throughout her hike. And to me, you know, he has strayed, like Cheryl Strayed's name, which, as a side note, is interesting. She actually chose that name, Strayed, which is a great metaphor, for herself at the end of her divorce. She didn't want to go back to her maiden name or her married name, and so she actually created the name Strayed. And in the film, she explains that Strayed means to wander from the proper path, to be lost, to be without a mother and father, to become wild. So do with that what you will, but pretty interesting there. But for me, the fox is Cheryl. It's her mother. It's her life force sort of beckoning her back to herself and to her life. In China, for example, the fox symbolizes the afterlife. And in the Celtic tradition, it represents a guide leading one through obstacles. And, you know, all of those really seem to ring true for Cheryl as she fights her way through the trails on the PCT, which is the Pacific Crest Trail, and through her life. I think Wilde has as many translations of metaphor as the 1,100 miles Cheryl takes on her journey, from our childhoods to our parents and partners, and most importantly, to ourselves. The film is just ripe with possibility, just like our lives. But probably for me, the greatest takeaway from the film is the quote Cheryl uses to describe her mother's view of the world. That was the one about, in every day there is a sunrise and a sunset. Like Cheryl, I think that we all sometimes must stray in our lives in order to be able to even have a shot at noticing our sunrises and our sunsets. We have to stay present to our lives and to ourselves. So for me, Wilde is a reminder that we are each on our own trails in life, and only we can really determine where they lead. Cheryl certainly had lots of choices. You know, she didn't have to go change her life through the trail. She could have lost her life to addiction. She chose to rescue herself. And it reminds me of one of my favorite lines from the book Eat, Pray, Love, where Elizabeth Gilbert says, I think it's the last chapter, I was the administrator of my own rescue. And that certainly applies to Cheryl. And Cheryl Strayhead's, final words of the film, the fox appears and then disappears one last time. And the voiceover is Cheryl's voice. And this is what she says. I didn't need to reach with my bare hands anymore to know that seeing the fish beneath the surface of the water was enough, that it was everything. My life, like all lives, mysterious, irrevocable, and sacred. So very close, so very present, so very belonging to me. So that's really it for my film review today. I'm hoping to have some guests join me and go further into some topics around love and relationships. At the end of each segment, I'm hoping to have questions for my guests, much like the tradition, of the Actors Studio with James Lipton. If you've seen it, there's some great questions he asks everyone. And I thought today, since I'm doing my first solo show, I don't obviously have a guest, but I thought it might be a good idea for me to answer the questions myself this time in order to give my listeners and future guests an idea of what to expect. So I'm going to ask the questions and answer them. Bear with me as it sounds kind of strange. But the first question is, what word makes you smile? And I thought about this. For me, it's probably the words, I love you. Definitely, that's what makes me smile. What word makes you cringe? Probably the word no, when someone says it like really definitively, and you can tell there's no flexibility in there. Where is your happy place? My happy place is definitely in the ocean, on the ocean, seeing the ocean, being on the beach, anywhere where I can just sort of feel my presence in the world through the ocean. It makes me happy. What sound or noise do you love? I would say the sound of my children laughing with each other. I'm an only child, and so hearing them laugh together and be joyful makes me smile for sure. What sound or noise do you hate? I hate that sound where it's like high-pitched nails on a chalkboard, that screechy sound. It just freaks me out, so I don't like that one. What is the best thing about being in a relationship with you? And I had to think about this one. It's a weird one to ask myself. And it's probably that when I'm in, I'm completely in. So that's probably a good thing eventually. If you only have an hour to yourself to do as you wish, what is your favorite thing to do? I would say probably take a walk or read or sometimes watch super mindless television on Bravo, maybe, but don't tell anyone. What is your go-to emotion? I would say it's probably to try to, it's not really an emotion, but I definitely will try to find the funny side of things in the midst of sort of intense things in my personal life. Not so much when I'm working as a therapist, but definitely in my own life. And my final question for my guest, which I hope will be insightful and revealing as time goes on, is what is one, as you notice I said one, of your favorite movies? One of my very favorite movies is the movie Magnolia by Paul Thomas Anderson, and it's sort of an intense study on human beings and human nature, and it's just a great film. So that's pretty much it. Thank you so much for listening to Love with Kim Sage today on KX at One Laguna. This show will air every Tuesday at 2 p.m., and I hope you'll join me next week. Please feel free to contact me with any questions or topic requests on Twitter at K-Sage Psychology, that's K-S-A-G-E Psychology, or on my new Facebook page devoted to the show, it's Loved with Kim Sage. And you can always find me on my website, which is www.kimsage.com. So thanks again. Have a beautiful day. And just remember that everyone just wants to be seen, heard, and loved.